This morning we open our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'll be reading verses 11 to 20 of Deuteronomy chapter 30. I invite you to open your Bibles this morning and follow along as I would read. First, let us pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us this morning. Do guide us, O God, by your word and your spirit today, that in your light we may see light, that in your truth find freedom, and that in your will discover your peace. For we pray it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning with verse 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us, so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thanks be to God for this, his holy word. A friend of mine from Germany, he came to visit me one time, and he couldn't believe how many options we have in our grocery stores here in America. He said he only wanted to get a bottle of water, but when he came to the water aisle, he got a little overwhelmed. He couldn't believe the some at least 50 or so different options, the choices that were available to him. Strawberry, raspberry, blueberry water, kiwi water, banana water even. Anyone ever drink banana water? Well, we like to have our options open to us as Americans. It gives us a sense of control and power in our life that we can choose things. We have a choice to make. Hence the Starbucks espresso options that we have. Yet it seems that sometimes we spend more time thinking about our choices of water, Aquafina, Evian, or a choice of coffee, grande, decaf, skinny, peppermint mocha. We seem to spend more time making some of these decisions than we do on some of the more important decisions of life. At this time of year, we pause and we look back over the choices we've made over the last 12 months. Some were very significant choices, like choosing someone to marry or choosing to buy a house, choosing which college to go to. Some choices, though difficult, were not so important, like deciding whether to have regular fries or curly fries at Arby's. Some choices weren't so significant. There's some choices we regret making. Some choices may have set us off on the wrong path. The new year is here. Things could be different by the end of this year, or they could remain just as they are, or just as they have been for a very long time for us. But there are options available, and there are choices that we have before us as we enter into a new year. In our scripture reading this morning, we see Moses looking back on his life and his ministry and his time with God's people. And in these last chapters of Deuteronomy, Moses reminds his fellow Hebrews of all of God's blessings and all of their failures over the years. Moses shows them point by point that when they obeyed God's word, and he's historically pointing to these places in time, when they've obeyed God's word, things went well for them and they were blessed and they succeeded. And he also pointed out to them, these are the times when you disobeyed God's law and you followed these foreign gods, and this is how you were miserable and this is how you failed. And he's pointing these things out to God's people. But now they're on a new phase of life. They're on the verge of entering the promised land here in Deuteronomy chapter 30. There will be choices to make in this new land, filled with foreign gods and material indulgences, just as there are choices for us to make as we enter a new year, full of other gods and material indulgences. Moses urges them with this, his last passionate plea before he dies, because as you remember, Moses isn't going into the promised land. He says, choose life, my brothers and sisters, choose life. If you can only do one thing, obey God's word. May that be our New Year's resolution today, to commit to knowing God more and following him more closely, to commit to obeying his word more. And so God's word, first of all, for us this morning, assures us that God's word is doable. God's word is doable. It's written for you and me. Its message of salvation is simple and clear. God's word and his will for our lives is not too difficult to do. We can do it. God wants us to know him. He wants us to follow him. He's not trying to secretly hide things away from us. He's for us. He's not against us. The word is not simplistic, however. Studying it often requires the help of someone maybe trained in biblical studies from pastors or good Bible commentators. But that does not excuse to never open the word or attempt to follow God's ways. See, part of the joy of reading and studying God's word is the seeking, the searching, and the questioning. And then also the finding and discovering new details that take you deeper into God's word, deeper into the heart of God and what his will is for our lives. I've heard more than one person say that the word of God just came to life for them when they started reading and studying God's word for themselves. Have you ever mined the depths of God's word? God wants us to open his word and to join him in his ongoing story so that we not just know it intellectually, but that we would experience it in a way that would change our lives. Moses says in verse 11, now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you, nor beyond your reach. That is, the word of God is not too difficult to understand. It has been the case in church history and in some church traditions today, where the word of God can only be handled by the so-called experts or priests or clergy. I know some Christians, because of that, they won't open their Bibles. They've been told that it's too hard for them to understand. They don't want to risk misinterpreting it, so they don't open it at all for themselves. Moses is telling the Israelites here that the word of God is practical and realistic and vital for your life and for your well-being. The Bible deals with everyday living. It doesn't take a special mystical knowledge or priesthood in order to make sense of it. It's not up in heaven, as he says. It's not too difficult to understand or do. God's word is doable. Moses also says that the word is not inaccessible. We're not separated from the word by a great sea that someone would have to go on this long journey to go get it and bring it back, as it says in verse 13. You see, the Israelites would have been familiar with that great epic of Gilgamesh. In this story in the ancient Near East, he goes on this long journey across the sea in order on a quest for life. Moses says, not so, the word of God. You don't have to go on this long journey or send someone on this long journey to bring back life to you. No, the word, he says in verse 14, the word is very near you. It is in your heart and in your mouth that you may obey it. You see, God's people had to memorize the word. It was an important part of simple education to memorize large chunks of scripture and to repeat it back to one another. Memorization is a powerful way to keep God's word in our hearts. The word is very near you. God says in Jeremiah 31:33 that a day is coming when he will put his law in people's minds and he will write it on their hearts. And he will be their God and they will be his people. There's an interesting thing that I thought about regarding biology. It's interesting when we think about when we memorize something that the nerves are forming new connections in our minds. New pathways are formed in our minds when we memorize something. So as we're memorizing God's word, it's interesting to me that the word is almost taking a physical shape in our minds. The word is becoming flesh in us. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that cool? As we memorize the word, it's forming new pathways in our minds. God has put his word in our hearts and minds. Paul calls it the word of faith in Romans 10. That's why he says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The word is very near you. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth that you may obey it. God's word is doable. But next, Moses paints a clear picture of the choices and the consequences before God's people, before us today too. We are urged to secondly see that God's word is life. God's word is doable. God's word is life. Moses says in verse 15, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. You see, there's power in God's word. That's why the simple reading of Scripture is such an important part of our worship services. It's a significant act in and of itself, simply reading the Scripture passage. There's power in the word. Moses says it will be your choice, though, to follow God's way as you're entering the new land or to follow your own way and take your own path in life. Just as it's our choice as we enter a new year to either follow God's ways or to follow our own way. We have choices. So when we look back over this last year and we think about those who... We remember those who chose death instead of life, and we think about terrorists, the murderers, the abortions in our city, and we think about our own choices that may have led on a path of spiritual death. We think about our choices that have stunted our spiritual growth, choices to hate or to lash out, to abandon someone. And we look over this past year, we think about some of those choices and some of the choices that actually meant life to us too, that set us off on a path to life, a way that was life-giving, choices that were life-giving. Maybe it was a decision to start praying together as a husband and wife, and that has renewed your marriage. Maybe it was a decision to start worshiping at church again and you haven't been around church for a long time. Maybe it was a decision to start reading the Bible more frequently, and the Bible has come alive for you in this last year. Maybe it was a choice to start using your gifts in the life of the church, and you haven't in the past, and you've been blessed by it. And others have been blessed by that too. You were set on a pathway to life, and if that's true, that's wonderful. And may it be so in this new year too. There's a simple and natural principle at work here that Moses is trying to get across to the Israelites, and God is trying to get across to us too, I think. That is, obeying God's word, you will live and be blessed. Disobey God's word, you'll be cursed, and it will lead to a pathway of spiritual death. It's as simple as that. God's word is life. So hang on to it, as Moses says. Hang on to it with all that you've got. And it's about making choices. Take health for an example. We know generally that choosing to eat well and exercise on a regular basis will lead to a more productive, healthier, maybe a longer life. Obeying the law of good food and exercise leads to life, while poor eating habits and no exercise generally leads to poorer health and possibly an earlier death. But it's our choice and the choices we make over time. Many in our society will say that we have no choice because we've been conditioned through our parents, through DNA, through our education, to behave the way that we do. We don't have a choice. It's just the way that we are. It's just who I am. But that's not true. That's not true. We do have choices. And God has enabled us to make choices, to make good, life-affirming choices. Christ has set us free to do so. God's word is doable, but more than that, God's word is life. Take a moment today to look back before you leap forward into a new year. What choices have you made over the last 12 months? Where have those choices taken you? Where are you spiritually today? Same place as you were last year? Are you spiritually where you want to be right now? Where do you want to be in the new year? Next year at this time. Moses closes up his last will and testament here by saying, so what will you do when you enter this new phase of life as you enter into the promised land? In no uncertain terms, he says that a choice must be made. And finally, God's word demands a choice. God's word is doable. God's word is life, and God's word demands a choice. We cannot choose not to choose. Choosing not to choose, choosing to live and let live, and never deciding to follow and love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's a choice of death if we don't choose. We must all decide in our hearts who will be our master, who will be our Lord in this coming year. We must decide which way we will travel, which pathways will we take. Will it be a road that leads to death, destruction, brokenness, evil? Or are we going to take the pathways that lead to life, health, vitality? Verse 19, Moses calls the permanent fixtures of God's creation as witnesses to the fact that he's laid out these choices before his people. He says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you, life and death, blessings and curses. You cannot remain on the sidelines on this one. There's a choice to be made, and it must be made, a choice that we must constantly make. Either we are with God and we walk in his ways and we choose to walk in his ways, or we are against God and we're working against God's purposes and God's ways, following the powers and principalities of this world. Notice that Moses said to choose life so that you and your children may live. Our choices not only affect us, but they affect our children as well. They affect our friends, our people we're in a relationship with. Living the word before our children means life to them too. Speaking the word to them means life. Once the children of Israel settled in their comfortable land, they would no longer see God leading them the way that they had. Once they enter the promised land, they'll no longer see the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night leading them. God had given them his word, his instructions through Moses. And they'd had the written word. The choice is now yours, Moses says. Will you obey God's word as you enter the new land? You are redeemed and you are saved from slavery in Egypt, yes. But being redeemed and being God's elect by grace is not the end of the story. You must continue to live and accept the covenant responsibilities and to be obedient to God's word. God says, I redeemed you for myself, that I would be your God and you would be my people. Not the people of these foreign gods. But you would be my people, special people, holy, the called out ones. God's blessing to Abraham would only be realized if the people were obedient. God would fulfill his promise to Abraham, but who would receive that promise? You see, if you're reading the Bible for the first time and you don't know the end of the story, if you begin in Genesis and you're getting to this point of Deuteronomy chapter 30, you're coming to the end of the first section of the Bible. The first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch. And that's coming to an end. You don't know the rest of the story. You come to this point. Moses is giving the speech to his people before they enter the promised land. And we end Deuteronomy. We don't know what happens next. What's going to happen with this generation? The former generation, you remember, wandered in the desert for 40 years because of their disobedience and their unfaithfulness. What about this next generation? Will they be obedient? Will they follow God's ways? Or will they wander in a desert for 40 years as well? Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, Jesus said. Jesus lived a life of choosing to be obedient to God's word, the word that he had memorized, no matter what the world offered. When he was tempted, what did he say? Over and over again, it is written, it is written, it is written. And he quoted God's word over and over again. And by obeying the word of God in the desert and finally all the way to the cross, Jesus unleashed the promise of Abraham that Israel would be a blessing to all nations, to the Gentiles, to all peoples. Jesus, the word made flesh, offered salvation and eternal life to all who would believe in him. To all people groups. God's word is doable. God's word is life. God's word demands a choice. So as we look back over this last year, what kind of things have we learned from the choices we've made? How have God's promises been fulfilled in your life? And what's next? Where will you go from here? How will your story continue? Or how will it end? And the most widely read spiritual work of all time, next to the Bible, a book called The Imitation of Christ by Thomas Kempis. Kempis says this, if we would every year overcome one vice, we should soon come to perfection. But I fear rather to the contrary that we were better off and more pure at the beginning of our conversion than we were many years after we were converted. Our fervor and desire for virtue should daily increase as we increase with age. But it is now thought to be a great thing if we hold but a little spark of the fervor we once had. What is that one thing, that one vice, that one issue, that one struggle that you have, that you would like to work on purposefully with the Lord this next year? What's that one thing? This next year, I encourage you to choose life and obey God's word, to leap forward into this new year in obedience. For God's word is doable. God's word means life to us. And God's word will demand choices of us this year. For the Lord is your life, and he wants you to experience the joy and freedom he has for you in all of life, to give you an abundant life in Christ. Let's pray together. O Lord, may we truly give you the first place in our lives. and especially in that one thing you brought to our minds here this morning. Help us to walk with you this new year, to walk closely with you, to walk with a renewed sense of freedom and victory as we depend only on your grace each day. We thank you and praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen.